And welcome back to the episode of Consumer B-Boy Live.
Me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about the announcement of Switch 2 from Nintendo. And we're not going to go over too much on it, just a little bit of it, but I think the main takeaway for a lot of people is the pricing. This is just a quick talk about what we're going to be, our thoughts on, and probably the reason why it's that high.
Yeah, because earlier this week, I guess by the time of this recording, the Nintendo Switch Direct was Wednesday, so like 2 days later. you know, big announcement, right? The next new Nintendo console, Switch, the Switch 2, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they announced pretty much a lot of the stuff. It comes out in June, which is, honestly, for me, that was the more surprising part.
That was a surprise.
Like, I assumed they were going to save Switch 2 for, like, holiday, like, sometime in November.
Like a season that would make sense for a lot of people.
Yeah, like, but in the middle of summer, like, I guess to be fair, like, I think the thing about when the first Switch came out, that came out in, like, early April, like, around now time,
if I recall correctly. Yeah.
Which was honestly a fine way.
Yeah.
Because then, like, later in that year, you would get your heavy hitters, but mainly you had, like, Legend of Zelda at launch, right?
Yeah.
But here, yeah, they announced the new games, right? A new Mario Kart, obviously. A new Donkey Kong game that's not Donkey Kong Country.
They also announced the GameCube, I don't know what to call it, a collection, but it's the GameCube,
I don't think, like, I call it the Virtual Console.
Yeah.
But that's because of, like, that's the term they would use for, like, releasing old games on, like, 3DS and the Wii U and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure it's like the Nintendo Switch Online, because you need Nintendo Switch Online to access the old games from like previous generations of Nintendo, right? The NES collection, your SNES, N64, and now Game Boy, actually, I think Game Boy Advance a while back, and now you're going to get GameCube games on Nintendo Switch 2, and only on Nintendo Switch 2.
Only on. So the reason for that is because Nintendo Switch 2, the big thing about it is that it's, and this kind of goes along to why I think the price went up so high. It's, Nintendo has always been like the kind of company to make stuff that is not, I wouldn't say cheap, but affordable, right?
Yeah, because, I mean,
like, they're never a high-end console or a PC kind of thing. They never really focus on graphics or anything. They're very much like gameplay is the thing.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, initially, right, during the bit wars between Sega, yeah, obviously that was the competition of graphics, but, you know, after the GameCube, which I believe was technically more powerful than the PS2, not doing as well as the PS2, I think Nintendo saw the market of, like, we don't want to try to compete with, you know, Xbox, you know, coming out as well, with these console guys going higher and higher with graphic fidelities. Let's just focus on, like you said, the gameplay experiences, which is why you got the Wii U, which is like motion, you know, all that stuff.
The Wii, not the Wii U.
I'm sorry, the Wii. I mean, technically, the Wii U had that too.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, my point being, the Wii, big explosion, right? It had such innovations with its controls and all that stuff.
It was never really too high in graphics-wise.
No, it was the weakest out of all the 7th-gen consoles.
And it's still technically the weakest out of the ones that we have right now.
Yeah, no, obviously. Like, it's still, it doesn't do it. I don't think it even did, like, 720.
No, it didn't. I want to say that right now it's 1080p at least.
No, I mean, the Wii.
The Wii, yes.
Yeah, the Wii.
Switch, I think it is 1080.
Yeah, 1080 in TV mode and, like, 720 when you're in handheld.
Yeah.
For certain games. Other games, like, I think probably Doom or, like, the higher graphic ones, they lower it down to make it run well, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, yeah. The main thing with Nintendo Switch 2 is that you can play in 4K on TV mode, I think, for some games.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, I think Metroid Prime 4 being one of them.
Also, like, a 60 frames per second... I think, was it off or on deck?
No, I think it does target 60 frames a second on deck. If I recall correctly, they're showing it. Because the game comes out on regular Switch as well, the first Switch. And they showed that, I think in TV docked mode, you can choose quality or performance.
Yes, that's what it was.
For Metroid Prime 4, and I think you're probably going to get that same option for other games. You know, like how a lot of the modern consoles do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, if I recall correctly from the Nintendo Direct, you could do 4K 60 frames in TV dock or like 1080 120 frames in TV dock for Metro Prime 4, which, I'm going to be honest, that's really cool.
That is really cool.
I'm like, I'm finally glad there's a console. Now, granted, I'm not saying that Xbox Series X or the PlayStation 5 or PS5 Pro are able to do 4K and 60, but it's like, it's a bit shocking for a Nintendo console to be able to do that. You know? Like, I mean, and it makes sense, right? The dock, which in Nintendo Switch, the first one, you know, it's just a piece of plastic that you can connect stuff into. With the Nintendo Switch 2, the dock has its own little micro, like, mini cooling fan to help, you know, take care of the heating process and all that stuff, which is, you know, that's a good idea, especially if you're going to be aiming for higher graphic fidelities and stuff.
Yeah.
From, like, if anything, I'll say this, it seems like a lot of the specs that people are saying about Nintendo Switch 2 is that it's basically kind of, like, of the same power level of, like, a base PS4 or Xbox One, right?
Yeah.
So that sort of power...
Well, again, they were never about that.
Yeah, because the Nintendo Switch was basically just... had the same power as, like, a PS3 or Xbox 360, which is generation before, but you add the context of it is both a regular means of console that you just sit and plug into the TV, but also a handheld console that you can just take anywhere you go.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's like... All right, that makes, you know, obviously the whole logic of...
Hence why it was so cheaper.
Yes, hence why it's cheaper, and also, I mean, yeah, it definitely garnered a lot of...
Yeah.
You know.
But that in line brings us to, like, the big issue about it is the pricing. I wasn't surprised when it became such a high price tag.
You want to say what the price is?
It should be $450 base, and there is a bundle for it, from what I saw, that included
Mario Kart Tour
that made it $500, which is like the baseline for a PS5 and Xbox.
Yeah, which, you know, and honestly, I remember talking to some of my coworkers.
Yeah,
because you know, that's a big thing with my coworkers with Nintendo games or whatever. And yeah, you know, it was like, now granted, I was probably of the belief that if rumors of true were, like, this is going to be a more beefed up Nintendo Switch in terms of console things, and just given, like, the state of how a lot of things have gotten increased in prices, whether just inflation or whatever economic stuff I don't understand is happening around the world.
Yeah.
I'm just like, alright, if this thing potentially tries to hit 4K maybe, then I could see it being like 400, maybe 450 at the highest. And, you know, lo and behold, it's 450 at base, and I'm just like, alright, I kind of had it right, but, you know.
You were, Nintendo was always the one that was like, yeah, your kid isn't going to be playing a PlayStation 5 anytime soon, but you can give him a Switch.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that we will, I feel like there will definitely be cheaper options as they come along. I mean, obviously, if you look at the Nintendo Switch itself, I mean, wasn't it like 350 when it came out, base? I
don't recall. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it was like in that 300 range, though.
Yeah.
While the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 were in that 450, 500 range. Last time I checked.
You also need to remember that, again, that for Nintendo, their whole thing was, we are affordable. We are not going to be making too much stuff that will, like, be running at, like, a crazy speed. And the whole point of Switch 2 is, like, no, we're actually doing it now. Their dock has, like, a cooling system now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, so it doesn't overheat.
Yeah.
That's when the whole thing about with the PS5, right, is that they came out with, like, a cooling system, but it's, like, not as cooling as most people would want it to be.
Well, I mean, yeah. But obviously, you know, this is the one that's starting to push for a bit more power, obviously, because the thing is, I think part of it is just the Nintendo Switch as a concept of, you know, a handheld that also is a home console that you can take anywhere, you know, like, it's a really good concept, and I know people were probably wondering, like, how are they going to make another, what console are they going to make you know, this next time up, like, what's it gonna be? Like, what's gonna be the next console for Nintendo? And it's like, obviously, it's just, that's why it's the Switch 2, mm-hmm. right? Which I always find funny that people will kind of, in the midst of all these big prices, and I think we'll talk about the bigger thing when it comes to price, because I think console, like, the console itself, pricing-wise, yes, it is a bit higher than what I think a lot of people, especially Nintendo fans, are used to, but I think most people can understand it, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
it's
okay,
supposed
you're,
to be better.
Yeah, it's a much more graphically better console than the original Switch, therefore, you know.
Well, does that mean, like, there's games that are going to be specific only to Switch 2, like, the big, like, Street Fighter 6, like, you ever bring Street Fighter 6 to Switch? Only for Switch 2.
That is true, yeah.
Which makes sense for that kind of game.
Yeah, and I was going to say, because that it has the graphical fidelity and, like, you know, hardware to run those games,
mm-hmm.
right? Cyberpunk 2077 coming to Nintendo Switch 2, and only Nintendo Switch 2, with the Phantom Liberty expansion pack, which I had to look up, wasn't even included for base PS4 or Xbox One, because
nope.
the remember, Cyberpunk 2077 on base PS4 and Xbox One ran like crap. It was awful. You had to have either a PS4 Pro or the Xbox One X to even run it good on
Series
those.
X, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because like, you had to have those next-generation consoles to run Cyberpunk well, or a beef-up PC.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, some of those PCs weren't doing it that well. Remember all that?
Oh, I remember that.
Like, all that stuff happened at the time. Granted, Cyberpunk nowadays is in a better state, and, you know, you can do that. But the fact that you can run that game successfully on a Nintendo Switch 2 just shows the amount of ingenuity and innovation that they had to put into that game.
Exactly, no, yeah. That's kind of the thing. With everything that's worked, I mean, games are being much more, like, fidelity-wise, like, a lot of, well, higher-end games, I'll say that. Like, AAA studios, AA maybe.
Yeah,
like,
they definitely like to push the graphical fidelity,
yeah.
like the ray tracing and all that
yeah.
stuff, right?
Yeah, and then you have games that are like indie games, like, say, Hades, which is like, aren't that graphically crazy, but, yeah, no, those, you know, those can run on Switch easy, especially now on Switch 2.
Mm.
But obviously, that comes into the question, like, sort of kind of things are going really haywire now is the price of a game.
Yeah, which the big one, I believe, was
Mario Kart
World. You know, the new Mario Kart game, which, I mean, not to talk too much about it, but, you know, it does look nice. 24 players, you know, you have this little...
You're essentially like, driving across country.
Yeah, you know, it's a nice concept. If anything, I'm just like, thank God it's a new Mario Kart game. I'm tired. Listen, I love Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's their highest selling game on the Nintendo Switch for obvious reasons. It's Mario Kart. People love Mario Kart. But it's just like, bro, can we just get Mario Kart 9 or something?
It's so funny because the 8 supposedly signify also Infinity on that. So it's like.
Yeah, because of the new
system
they added. And granted, remember, Mario Kart 8 originally came out on the Wii U.
That's how long it's been.
Yeah, that's how long people have been playing the same, more or less, version of Mario Kart. Yes, I understand they released new
updates
over the years for it, but it's just like...
Son of a bitch.
It's the same game.
But the thing is, it's that price now.
Yeah, because nowadays... Now, granted, I think Nintendo's done a pretty solid job of, like, pricing out some of their games. Granted, they've the main thing is they've joined in on the games being $70, but it's, I believe it was only for their first-party titles, right? Like, Tears of the Kingdom was $70 on release, if
mm-hmm.
I recall correctly. From what I understand, Mario Kart, you know, Mario Kart World is going to be $80 digital.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not only... $10 more than physical, than like I guess original physical copy stuff, but just, you know, that's a lot for Mario Kart, you know. I know there's rumors of like, what does that mean for the physical version? Is it going to be $90?
I'm pretty sure they confirmed it is $90.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I believe that's probably for like other countries.
Yeah.
It's like say in Europe with the Euro and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty po- like
Yeah, I'm double checking.
yeah, because the thing is that because you know, if it is 90 just for physical, I mean, like realistically, that's just a bit, it's a bit much for a Mario Kart game. Again, not to say that people won't buy it. People will buy Mario Kart. It's just, you know, for $90, that's the steep price to pay for a game like that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this is why you mentioned earlier about the bundle, right? That comes with Mario Kart being $500 basically in US money. You're basically just saving. That's like your best option if you wanted to play like Mario Kart, which I mean, most people would like to do that. You're saving either like $30, right, for a digital copy, or
Yeah, it
like,
doesn't say if they'll be like 90 or anything like that.
yeah, it's not con- yeah, that's what I thought. It's not confirmed $90 for the US. I believe that might be some pricing for like other countries outside the US. But as of now, I mean, that's just what
Yeah.
it is, digital, and you know, that's, it's like you said, like it's causing a lot of stir. I mean, hell, you know, if you've been around the games, new gaming news as of late, right? Like the real big issue coming up is GTA 6 coming out this year, with a lot of people saying, you know, Rockstar might charge us $100 for that. Because it's GTA, and it's like,
I don't know, bud. I don't know.
yeah, it's just like, listen, I'll pay $100 for a video game if it's like a special edition that gets me extra DLC here, or maybe a steel box or something.
Art book, especially.
Art books, yeah, like just,
Statues is really going up high.
yeah, but those are, it feels like those are accurately priced and stuff,
Yeah.
right? Those are the ones where you're like, okay, I'm fine paying maybe $150 for a video game, but it comes with all these extra bits and collectibles and all this stuff, and it's like, okay, cool, I'm cool with that. But you know, for $80 digital for just a Mario Kart game, that, I mean, yes, you can play it with friends, and I know the Switch 2 is introducing a new system that allows you to share games. Like, if you own a copy of that game, you can essentially rent it out to other friends or whatever for like a week or two, so that way they can, you can all play together. So that is sort of an interesting workaround in theory, right? Of like, say you and your family, for whatever reason, have like four Switches, which, I mean, that seems a little
Really weird.
really weird. If you own four Switches and yet you're concerned about paying too much money for Mario Kart, I feel like you're fine financially. But anyways, main point being, you know, the Nintendo Switch 2 has these new systems that allow that stuff for you to share games and stuff,
Yeah.
which is neat. It's interesting. You know, it's a, like I said, yeah, it's an interesting way of doing that. Maybe it's a nice workaround for people who can't afford to play as many games.
Yeah.
But it's at the same time, you know, it's just like, yeah, we are entering a bit of a interesting age in terms of video game pricing for stuff.
Oh, it's about to get worse too.
Yeah.
Do you want to start?
Yeah, we can also talk about some of the newer things, developments.
This just came out today.
Yeah, as of recording, we had a,
Oh my God.
if I recall, Nintendo Switch, Nintendo was expecting to, you know, essentially allow pre-orders for Nintendo Switch 2, I think the April 9th, it was the
Yeah.
date. And funny enough, if you have a Nintendo Switch, if you have a Nintendo account, excuse me, there's a place where you can just be updated on when those links go out, which I
Yep.
believe is like their way of trying to stop scalpers. Like, you make an account, they'll send you a link when it's ready to go. You just have to choose which version of the Nintendo Switch 2, either base or bundle with Mario Tour, right?
Yeah.
Mario Kart. So you know, that's interesting. But anyways, the main point is that Nintendo announced recently, and I think even GameStop, you know, essentially amplify that announcement as well, of like,
Yeah, because they nothing against GameStop, but they became basically just pre-order central.
I mean, yeah, but you know, they make money from that, right?
Yeah, they do.
You know, it's like, hey, Nintendo just confirmed that they will be delaying pre-orders for the Nintendo Switch 2 in the US due to you know, the changing dynamics of the, you know, of the world economics or whatever. I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it is
I think if you know, you know.
Yeah, it's if you're living in the U.S., you might have heard of certain tariffs going out as of late, which, you know, politics aside, you know, that's...
Yeah, not like, however you feel, these are not going to help out at all in any way or form. This is going to be affecting a lot of people. Again, I mean, I feel like most people would know where we stand on this, and... I feel like everyone will be in agreement that this kind of sucks.
Yeah, because the main thing is that from a lot of people speculating is that Nintendo sort of moved a lot of their production for plants that are going to make the Switch 2 into Vietnam, which was hit hard with tariffs. So, you know, it's Nintendo is just trying to figure out, okay, are we actually going to release this at $450 in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Or what do we have to do for price changing? Because there's a lot of speculation that the price will go up for Nintendo Switch 2 in the U.S., which, again, like we were saying earlier, that adds a whole wrinkle to things now. Because, yeah, the pricing of the console itself, I think most people were fine with. It's the games part that was like...
No, it's going to head both ways.
And yeah.
When did this tariff stuff start? It was yesterday, wasn't it?
As of recording yesterday was when those were revealed.
A double whammy of news cycle, Jesus, for gamers and everything. Because like that, I mean we knew this. I mean, I feel like people who knew this was gonna happen.
Are following American politics.
Yeah, yes. Something like this was gonna happen, and it kind of sucks because like it's gonna, like I said, it's gonna affect everyone. Like, it doesn't really matter where you fall under this situation. We are all going to be affected, and it's not going to be a very fun time. We're all hoping that this doesn't go down any form of way, but this is one of those things where you just can't escape the reality of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, not to loop it around, but it feels very much of what happened about 5 years ago. And the world had to shut down to a global pandemic. And it's one of those moments of just like, well, we can't not talk about it because at this point it's permeating all the stuff that we like to talk about, you know?
It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah, it's like it's a big elephant in the room that you just have to go like...
There's an elephant in the room.
Yeah, like you just have to like, yep, that's a thing that's happening, and we,
Yeah, no, it's like, we were not planning on doing this. We wanted to talk about the cool stuff that's gonna come out, and then prices came out, and I'm like, oh, man, it's kinda hard not to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, maybe that's the reason why they planned for a summer release, I don't know. But I will say that, it is going to be interesting to see what goes down because, I mean, we haven't talked much about it, but obviously there was a backlash to a lot of the prices, mainly the game, the prices for games so far.
Yeah.
Nintendo has been doing their Nintendo Treehouse stuff, which they show off all their games or whatever, like in-depth lists on the new games, right, on Twitch for the past couple of days as of recording, and a lot of the Twitch chat has been spammed of just, you know, like bring down the price. That's been a lot of stuff that's been going on, which, you know,
yeah.
Now I will say it does mirror, and I have done some research. It does mirror something that happened with Nintendo as well, with the 3DS, their last handheld before the Switch.
All right.
Where it was priced, I don't remember the exact price, but it was definitely priced a bit higher for what was perceived for a handheld console. Nintendo eventually brought that down because I obviously, you know, like they knew that, okay, that's maybe we're taking that a little too far. So who knows? Obviously, the current, you know, world situation going on with these tariffs,
it's gonna be a lot harder.
Might make it a bit harder for Nintendo to just bite that bullet.
Because
if you recall correctly, 3DS came out during the Wii U, and Nintendo was already pulling. Like cutting their they took pay stuff cuts. You know, they weren't doing very well financially due to the Wii U. So I think for them it was like, okay, let's lower
where
down.
Where the CEO had to like agree to take a pay cut to make sure everyone still had
a job. Yeah, Iwata was like, you know, I'm willing to cut my pay so that way everybody stays employed, kind of thing, which, you know, very admirable of him.
He was a G.
A real G.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'm not sure if Nintendo is in that same position to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, again, like I said, with the ongoing situation economically happening around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's going to be an ongoing issue. I mean, I don't know if we'll talk about it if stuff gets resolved.
Yeah, we want to focus on the positives, and that being, for me, that would be in saying that I'm excited for Nintendo Switch 2. I would definitely get it. Especially since they're talking about like GameCube game releases, and one of my favorite games is from the GameCube era, and that being Custom Robo. Please, for the love of all that's good.
I mean, sure, you can keep praying. Not to say that I don't like Custom Robo. I remember enjoying playing a bit of it when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
The personally,
Dragon Gun, so cool.
Yeah, personally, Fire Emblem Path of Radiance being playable on like a modern console, that's pretty cool. Although
Twilight Princess,
if you don't want to play the HD remake, you can play the original.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, Pokemon Colosseum and then XD, those are gonna be on there. So that's pretty freaking cool.
Oh yeah.
Side Story, always wanted those games on my GameCube. Never got to get that. You know, it was really annoying.
Yeah.
But you know what? Pretty cool that I can do that.
Well, we get Resident Evil 4 from the GameCube, though.
I mean, at this point, maybe.
Yeah, if you're not going to get
Remake Resident Evil 4 Remake, you can play the original on your GameCube Classics or whatever they're going to call it.
Exactly.
I will say, I think because the other bit that I think people were very vocal about was the, I think there's like that tech demo that you're going to have for Nintendo Switch 2. That is going to cost you as well. I think $6 is what they said.
Oh, man.
Which,
okay.
I mean, people... I mean, here's the thing. Yes, it's not a lot of money, but, like, you compare that to, say, PlayStation 5 with the Astrobot Playroom, which was basically sort of running down all the features of your PlayStation 5, which was free on the system, you know? And similarly, I think Wii Sports, when it came out, was free, and there was the story that I remember seeing of how Reggie Fils-Aimé, you know, my body is ready.
The man himself.
Yeah. No Mother 3. he had to convince Nintendo higher-ups of, hey, you know, let them release Wii Sports for free because they need to find, you know, let the consumer understand how the Wii works. Wii Sports was a perfect fit for that. You know, that sort of, you know, it kind of, like, don't get me wrong. Like, Nintendo, for as much good as they've done as a company with all their games and, like, IPs and just how well they treated, I feel like their developers and stuff have always done at least one or two, like, kind of messed up things every console generation, right? Like, their treatment of emulation, you know, that's never great. Just like, I think they were the last bastions of free online multiplayer until they also joined the party with the Nintendo Switch Online. People were kind of annoyed by that. Granted, it's way cheaper than PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold.
It is.
You know? Like, yeah, sure, you don't get your free 2 games a month like Gold or PSN Plus have, but, you know, I think they compensate with, you know, being able to play the old classic games from the NES era and now all the way up to the GameCube. You know, like, again, there's, like, good things to talk about the Nintendo Switch 2. There's a lot of cool, interesting things that it's going to be doing. I mean, heck, the fact that the Joy-Cons, they're magnetic, so that's kind of cool. And also, you can turn them into, like, mouses for, like, games. Like, you can do that for Metroid Prime 4, where you, instead of just using the regular control, you can just turn it into, like, a mouse, like a PC shooter.
It's almost crazy how that happened. Like, that's what I was thinking, too.
Like, that's one of those things of, like, only Nintendo thinks of shit like this, right?
Yeah.
Like, only Nintendo has the balls to do these kinds of weird things and be like, Oh yeah, that's cool. Because to be fair, you can plug a mouse and a keyboard into like an Xbox, I'm pretty sure. But it's always sort of been like...
But why though?
Why though? Like, it feels a bit...
Keyboard warriors, why?
Yeah, it feels cumbersome, right?
Yeah.
But with the Switch, it's like, you know this Joy-Con, your little controller that one can be like its own little tiny controller? You can also turn it into a mouse. And it's like, and it didn't even dawn on me because they announced Civilization 7.
Mm.
Which, you know, I'm a big fan of Civilization games. I haven't bought 7 yet, but I'm kind of just waiting to see how it looks so far. But just like, holy crap, the mouse feature, you can play it like you're playing on a friggin' computer.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, like, those games are like strategy games and they're like, all these options, and I think I remember buying Civilization 6 on the Switch just to have fun with it, and I just always felt like it was less intuitive than if I was playing it on my laptop.
And now they did the...
Now you have a mouse option to move and click on stuff, probably, and it's just like, that's kind of cool. Like, listen, don't get me wrong. People obviously are bringing up, don't buy a Nintendo Switch 2, buy a Steam Deck. It's way cheaper, and you'll get more games, blah, 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 right? And it's like, yeah, but...
If you have Steam, you want it on PC.
Yeah, that's sort of the thing, right? Like, not all games that you own on Steam will probably work well on your Steam Deck. And that's for, like, people who are already well-inversed with their PCs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those things of, like... Honestly, like, you know, it's so... It's one of the things where, like, not many people would need it. Same thing goes with, you know, I honestly kind of forgot that PlayStation 5 has their own little Nintendo Switch knockoff. I forget what it's called. Isn't it like,
I don't remember.
But pretty much, you need your PlayStation 5 to connect to it, right? It's not the same as a Nintendo Switch, right? You can't just take that thing, go outside, go to, like, a friggin'... like 10 miles away and still play it. You still need like a connection, right?
Yeah.
To that console. Switch doesn't need that. The main thing is that Nintendo Switch has the concept down, and this one, Nintendo Switch 2, is just amplifying it up to, I think, its potential.
Mm.
And it sucks because, again, it comes with all this controversy about pricing. Whether it's the console itself, whether it's the games, whether it's the fact that, you know, real world stuff is happening, and now maybe that console that seemed slightly okay in pricing, but you're annoyed about the game pricing, now that console might go up, you know, depending on how things shake out in, like, who knows how long, right? And it's just sort of like,
it's so a fantastic, innovative thing, the thing that we know Nintendo to be. But it's kind of at this moment where there's a lot of uncertainty coming out. That's a real issue with it. Because, like you just went on a few minute... I wouldn't say call it a tangent, because you're right. That is an impressive thing, that the fact that they're even thinking about making it feel like a PC, when even the Steam Deck or whatever Sony has doesn't give you that feeling. But Nintendo does, because that's kind of what they do. Remember, like, the Wii came out, and that was crazy.
Nobody really thought motion controls were a thing. Like, they just saw it as a gimmick, but the Wii is, like, one of the most best-selling consoles of all time, because people really vibe with it.
And then Sony and Xbox try to copy it in the worst way possible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had this, like, what was it, PlayStation Move, if I recall correctly?
And then you had Kinect.
Which, I mean, granted, Kinect itself was not a bad concept. In fact, I think it might have been more innovative than the Wii's, like, motion controls.
Yeah.
However...
It was a blessing in disguise, because a lot of people didn't like it, but there have been people who found out a way how to use it still.
I mean, yeah, because I was going to say, like, you know, it was a bit half-baked. When the Xbox One came out,
right,
it came out with a new version of, you know, Kinect, which was better. But at that point, Xbox kind of gave up on, you know, their motion games and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, realistically, the only cool thing I remember doing with the Kinect was just being, you know, pulling, like, a Hey Siri thing with it. Like, hey, Xbox, turn on. Or, like, it would automatically sign me in because the camera would recognize my face, which now, in hindsight,
kind of scary.
A little scary. But then again, your iPhone can do the same thing, so now... And I use that all the time now, so it's just like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but like to the point is that
yeah,
you know, Nintendo is usually the one that really comes up with something new, and usually is very much about for the experience. It's kind of like their motto essentially. But we're kind of stuck in it. It's sad. The thing is, we're in a situation. We're in a time period where everything is kind of affecting us, even to the smallest minute detail, that it's kind of hard not to ignore. Like I said, the pricing situation, it's crazy that this is going on, like, right now, like, literally a day after the announcement.
Yeah, like, obviously, you know, I think Nintendo hoped that, you know.
A lot of people hope that it wouldn't go down certain ways, but kind of the way things are going. Again, like, not trying to, like, put all my horses in, like, in a bad stable. I don't know what kind of.
I guess a better way of saying it would be not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
Okay.
But like we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully they'll pull out something that makes it good for everybody. But we can't deny that. Like I said, this is something that's going on in the world that's affecting everyone. It's hard for us not to mention it, especially in a thing that we love to talk about.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, interesting few months, years. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, yeah. It's I mean, I'll be honest. You know, like I will say this. I'm still optimistic about the Nintendo Switch 2. I would really like to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it. You know, I personally was down with most of that stuff. But you know, at the same time, it kind of sucks because now I'm like, well, $450. I thought, you know, $450, $500. That's not too bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not at least it's not. It's kind of in my budget. But you know, who knows?
Who knows what the rest is gonna.
Yeah.
But like, if I'm gonna end it on a positive note, not Bloodborne 2.
Right, the new From Software game. I forget the name of it. It was like Night something.
Yeah, but it's basically like a multiplayer game, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Only to Switch.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And a lot of people were just like, Bloodborne 2 because they didn't.
Bloodborne 2?
Yeah. I will also say, I mean, new Kirby Air Riders game.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
All I said, I mean.
Well, it's a wait and see.
Realistically, let's be honest with ourselves here. No one's going to be complaining about the price once they announce the new Smash. Because at that point, it's like, well, damn it. Now I have to buy this thing.
Yeah, somehow the Smash Brothers is really.
It's either that or by the grace of God himself.
Mother 3?
No, not Mother 3. I'm sorry, Mother fans. I'm sorry. I'm talking about a bigger game. A game that would totally get everybody on Nintendo's side again. That game is Smash, but it's not Smash 5. It's Melee.
Okay, we're not doing
Melee coming back via the GameCube Virtual Console thing, you know? And you can choose where you can play the US or PAL version, you know, like, that only is specific to competitive Melee players. But main point being, somehow Nintendo does something right for the Melee competitive community.
I can see that.
Alright, I think that's it. We're done.
Yeah, I guess we're done. If you enjoy anything you've heard today, be sure to follow us on all social media, subscribe, Facebook, and Twitter, most of the time on Instagram. There's also a link tree on Instagram for all you guys out there who want to put a face to the voice. Because we will be linked to the YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, and Patreon for Reformer Support. We'll see how things go out, but we're hopeful. And yeah, it's with me, Boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
Guess have a good one, peace.